is that God is better than the world's best thing. God is better than the best thing that the world has to offer.
Okay, howdy, Northangley. How's everyone doing? I want to welcome you all. My name is Matthew, if we haven't met before, and I'm glad you're here. I'm especially glad if you're new to Christianity or you're new to church, new to faith, and maybe you've come with a friend. And our hope this summer is that this would be a summer series that you would just feel super relaxed and able to come and check out church. And so if this is one of your first times in church or kind of hanging out with Christians, we're just so glad you're with us. Before we begin, I need to let you know something. Yesterday, I was feeling a little bit uneasy, and about 6 o'clock last night, I went on a walk, and I was feeling a bit unsure about the sermon that I had worked on for a couple weeks in preparation for today, and something wasn't feeling right. So after a walk and lots of prayer and a chat with a friend, I sat down at 7 p.m. to work on something completely different. That is not normal for me. I just want to let you know that. And I'm really trusting that there are some of us here, and I've already felt it myself, that need to hear some of the scripture passages that we're going to look at today. And so I'm trying to grow in being sensitive to hearing God's voice. And so I'm trusting him here. And so you can disregard the front of your bulletin. That is not the song that we are focusing on today. You may find next week it's the exact same printout, the exact same front of the bulletin. So let me just pray. Lord God, we trust you. And God, we thank you that as we've been praying this morning and as we've been worshiping, we've centered our lives on you. And that's what we want to do here in the next few moments. We want to center all that we are upon you, Jesus. And we trust you that you're here, that you're working in the room, and that you want to meet us. And so we want to meet you. And we pray that your voice would be so clear here today. And God, I thank you, as Janet was praying a moment ago, just that we've come here this morning and that you are already ministering to us. And God, some of us are bringing in some fear and some worry. And I pray in the name of Jesus that, God, you would heal. And we're asking for that in your name here today. We love you. We trust you. And we give our lives to you. Come and speak, Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, some of you will know that we are in the middle of this summer series, and it's called Songs to the Unknown God. And we take that little title from a story that we find in the Bible in the book of Acts. And I know that some of you are, maybe you've been on holidays, you've been away, you know, for a little while, you've come back. And so we're never sure who has heard the reason why we're doing this summer series. So every week we do a little recap to kind of remind ourselves of why we're doing this. Why are we listening to these songs this summer? And so we want to look in the book of Acts, chapter 17, at Paul, who's a missionary. And as you've already heard for a number of weeks, he is in the city of Athens. He's strolling around the city, and he finds himself talking about Jesus with the philosophers of the city. He's then taken up on this hill in the city of Athens called the Areopagus, also known, the Romans called it Mars Hill. You'll see it here in a picture. And Paul stands up on this hill. He sees what the city of Athens is all about. It gives him a perspective from that hill. He sees the temples. He sees all of the worship going on. And he listens to the culture around him. He notices that in the city, on top of this hill, there is an altar with an inscription, "To an unknown God." Here's what the Athenians did. They lined up all the gods that they knew existed, but they left one vacant spot. They reserved it for the unknown God. So Paul sees this, and he sees an opportunity to point the people of Athens to the Lord of heaven and earth. It's a beautiful picture of the people of Athens being prepared in advance by the Holy Spirit to hear some good news. The Athenians had this sense that there was some other God out there. We better cover all of our bases and just make this one altar to an unknown God. And it's a good thing that Paul was listening to the culture around him. And then Paul does something amazing. He uses Greek poetry about Zeus to share the gospel. Listen to Paul. "For in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring." Paul isn't quoting the Bible. This is a point we have made throughout the last few weeks. He's actually quoting Greek poetry about Zeus to share the good news. From the Cretan philosopher Epimenides and the Stoic philosopher Aratus, he's quoting from the current pop culture of the times. As I've said for a couple of weeks, you would have heard these lyrics on the top 40 radio in Athens. Paul is the great missionary, and he shows up in the city of Athens, a city like our Vancouver, and he's listening, isn't he? He's listening to culture. He sees this altar, and he points Athens to the Lord of heaven and earth. And then he quotes Greek poetry about Zeus to communicate the good news. And that's what we're going to do this summer. And hey, I know that this music is not always comfortable for all of us in the room. But good missionaries understand the people and the culture that they're called to. And so we are going to continue to listen to the deep cries of our culture through various artists and songs. And we're going to see, we're going to ask God how he might heal those cries and wounds with his great love. So this is our summer series, Songs to the Unknown God. And so far, we have listened to John Lennon's Imagine, Alessia Cara's Scars to Your Beautiful, Coldplay's The Scientist. Last week, we heard from Chance the Rapper. And today, we dive into song number 5 on our summer song playlist. Arcade Fire's Keep the Car Running. Arcade Fire is a Canadian band formed in 2001. Their first album, Funeral, was released in 2004, and I loved it. It's a captivating album. They have released 5 albums in the last 13 years, and the song Keep the Car Running, the one that we're going to listen to today, comes from their second album, an album called Neon Bible. As we listen to the song, I want you to hear the fear in Wynn Butler's voice. As we listen, I want you to hear the anxiety in his lyrics. He's not doing well. Listen close, because if you do, I believe you'll hear the pain that many of us in the room suffer, are suffering, or have suffered as we are gripped by fear. It's a cry, you're going to hear a cry for some kind of peace amidst the fear. He's afraid. And so if we've got the mindset of Paul, the great missionary, on Mars Hill, let's listen to the poets of our age. And let's hear the cries that they're making. Released in May 2007 on their album Neon Bible, this is Arcade Fire's Keep the Car Running. Thank you. He's afraid. Men are coming to take me away. I don't know why, but I know I can't stay. There's a weight that's pressing down. Late at night, you can hear the sound. There's a fear that I keep so deep, knew its name before I could speak. When Butler, or the main character in the song, is surrounded by fear, these men, whoever these men are coming to take him away. He's had this fear in him since he was a child. It's been this weight that has been pressing down. He's living in fear. He's crushed by fear. Could you hear it? Is this articulating some truth about the world that we live in? You bet it is. Often we're just crippled by fear. And there's some interesting lyrics that keep being repeated. They know my name because I told it to them. It's as though he's given away his identity, his personhood to something, to someone. But they don't know where and they don't know when it's coming. Oh, when, but it's coming. So keep the car running. See, something's coming. And as I listen to the song, it's not always clear if the it that is coming is either good or bad. But here's one thing clear about the song. He's clearly warning his wife to get ready to get out of here. Get ready to run. Whether good or bad, something is coming. So keep the car running. Have an exit plan ready. Get ready to run. Arcade Fire is articulating this fear that we live with day in and day out. Men are coming to take me away. I've lived with this crushing fear my whole life. Something's coming. Keep the car running. Get ready to run. They're all poetic ways of expressing fear and anxiety about the world that we live in. Some way or another, we gave ourselves to something, and now it is coming for us. It's not news to us that we're surrounded by things that cause fear and anxiety, right? That's not news. Speaking of news, think of the 24-hour cable news. We can watch the horrors of the world every night before bed. Terrorism, crumbling economies, complicated politics, crushing poverty. It's all right before us on our television. And it just swarms around us. It causes fear. And we've got all the personal stuff that we're dealing with, right? Fear when it comes to our finances. Fear when it comes to our family. Like, what's going on with our family? Like, what's happening to my siblings? What's going on with my parents? What's happening in my child's life? We've got fear about the future. Often those things go together, right? Family and future. We're wondering, what does the future look like for me? Our friendships. We've got this fear that we're going to lose friends. We've got this anxiety about friendships that we've lost. And even our faith. There's a fear when it comes to faith at times, and we say, do I believe this? Am I actually allowed to wonder if I believe this? I've got doubts. And we have this fear or this anxiety, even when we think about the faith in our own family, of those who we love. Can I just ask you, what weight is pressing you down? In Win Butler's words, what is the fear that you keep so deep? Sometimes you haven't even expressed this aloud to anyone you love in your life. You keep it deep. What do you fear is coming to take you away? What makes you want to run out the back door? Or Let me ask a few other questions. What makes you want to cut corners or cheat or avoid or constantly develop scheme about an escape plan? In other words, in what ways do you constantly keep the car running, just in case? You've always got one foot out the door. Whether it's an addiction that helps with the fear, that's a good escape route. Secretly loving someone else to avoid the fear, that's one way to run. Always ready to quit in order to escape the fear. These are all versions of keeping the car running, ready to head out of here. It's our only way to cope with fear, right? Developing some kind of exit plan. I need out. Could you name it? What is the fear that you keep so deep? Just name it right now. To yourself. Not out loud. Just name that. And now listen to Jesus. Peace, I leave with you. My peace, I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Peace. Jesus. How? I mean, really, how? Have you ever seen a child flying through the air? We all have. Imagine a little kid flying through the air, right? Imagine this kid flying through the air. This is my son Micah. He's 18 months old. He's quite the ball of energy, and I love throwing him up in the air. Just tossing him up in the air. He has to move at all times. He sleeps like a rock for 13 hours, and then when he wakes up, he doesn't stop moving. And so you just got to wrestle with him and get really active. And I love throwing him up in the air. And Micah has flown the friendly skies, for sure. And I want to describe Micah's face. Throw him up in the air, and he's beaming. And he's laughing. And he's screaming with joy as he flies through the air, maybe slightly higher than my wife would want me to throw him. Why? Why is he beaming? Why is he smiling? Why is he laughing? Because he knows he's safe in his father's arms, or his uncle's arms, or his grandparents' arms. He knows who's going to catch him. I guess he could be panicking. He is hovering in the air, unattached to anything on earth. He could be screaming in fear. He has every right to panic. But he doesn't. He knows that there are arms of those he loves that are ready to catch him. And so Micah has a particular context he's in. Follow me here. He's got a particular context. And context is everything, isn't it? When it comes to fear, context is everything. Flipping through the air is okay on a trampoline, but not on stairs. Context is everything. Dropping and falling fast from some kind of high rise is okay at Universal Studios or Disneyland or Six Flags or something like that, at some amusement park, but it's not okay in an elevator, right? That would not be fun. Context is everything. And a child flying through the air is okay in their father's arms, but not okay just about everywhere else. Context That's everything. So the question I think we need to ask as we feel suspended in air, and as we have this fear, this panic, where we feel unattached, floating in midair, we have to ask ourselves this: what is our context? What is the context we are in? Because Jesus offers us peace in a particular context, if only we'd have eyes to see. Yes, we are flying through midair, and yes, one of our options is to be afraid and to panic. But what if we were given grace and mercy to be able to see the Father's arms? Just maybe. Maybe that kind of context, in that context, we would be able to find peace, even in midair. Because here is the context we are in according to Scripture. We have the cross of Christ behind us, the new world before us, the Father holding us, and the Spirit in us. So peace be with you. We have the cross of Christ behind us, the new world before us, the Father holding us, and the Spirit in us. So peace be with you. Let's walk through that. We have the cross of Christ behind us. This is not to say that we forget about the cross. It is to say that the cross of Jesus is our anchor and our foundation. It was at the cross where Jesus defeats sin and death and evil once and for all. 3 days later, he rises from the dead and offers life to the world. It is a done deal. Evil is defeated, and a way is made for us to receive the forgiveness of sins. We have the cross of Christ behind us. We have the new world before us. Did you know that the whole story of Scripture looks forward to the day when heaven and earth meet? Did you know that? We pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we have this as our bright hope. One day, God will make all things new. And heaven, which is God's space, and earth, which is the space which we live in, will come together. Listen to Revelation 21. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things," that old order where heaven and earth were separate, "has passed away. Behold, God is making all things new." We have the new world before us. We have the Father holding us. We have God the Father Almighty holding us. The Bible says that God is sovereign, which means he is absolutely in charge. He holds all power, and he is holding us. Nothing can separate us from the Father's love. Romans 8, "We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Nothing can separate you from the strong arms of the Father. We have the Father holding us. And we have the Spirit in us. He is the great counselor, the great advocate, the one who comes along beside us, the one who walks with us. He is the one who fills us. He's the one who comforts us and the one who restores us. He is the great giver of life. He is the gift that is given to the church, the great Holy Spirit. John 14, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate, counselor, helper, to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him or knows him. But catch this, you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you." He is in you. The great comforter sent from God is with you and in you. He is God's gift to you. We have the Spirit in us. We have the cross of Christ behind us, the new world before us, the Father holding us, and the Spirit in us. So peace be with you. Peace be with you. Could you receive it? This is your context. The world does not offer this context. This is your context. Receive the peace of Christ. What is the fear that you keep so deep? Now place that fear in its proper context. You can do it right now. It's a movement of the heart, isn't it? Place that fear in its proper context. And if you want, you can close your eyes, you can join me in a moment of prayer, you can just hold out that fear before God. If you feel comfortable, you can stretch out your hands. If not, that's okay. Hold out that particular fear before God. And as you hold it out before Him, as you feel like you're suspended in midair, ready to panic, would you hear this? You have the cross of Christ behind you. You have the new world before you. You have the Father holding you. And you have the great Comforter, Advocate, Counselor, the great Holy Spirit in you. So in the great and merciful name of Jesus, may His peace be with you. Take heart. He has overcome the world. You don't have to keep the car running. Feel free to go turn the car off. You can live today in this moment in peace. You don't need an exit plan. He's with you even now. Go ahead and turn the car off and stay. Try planting a garden right here in the midst of your fear and pain because He's here. There's no need to run. Take a look at your finances and hear Jesus say, "Peace be with you." Take a look at your job and hear Jesus say, "Peace be with you." We don't always get the answers we want, but we're called to see the context we're in. Take a look at your addictions, your temptations, and the sin that so easily controls you, and hear Jesus say, "Peace be with you." Look at your parents who are sick and aging, and hear Jesus say, "Peace be with you." Look at your child who is suffering in some kind of way, maybe lonely, maybe addicted, maybe fearful themselves, and hear Jesus say, "Peace be with you." Look at your sickness or the sickness of the one you love, and hear Jesus say, "Peace be with you." And now look at your marriage and hear Jesus say, "Peace be with you." We have the cross of Christ behind us, the new world before us, the Father holding us, and the Spirit in us. So peace be with you. And Jesus, we pray right now that you would come and fill this room with your peace. Open our eyes to the context in which we live in. Even though we face sickness and alienation and death and all kinds of fear and worries, God, we know that we come to you, the author of life, and that we can be held by you. And I pray in this moment you would flood us with your peace. And we pray this in your name. Amen. I'm going to invite Corey and the team up. And as Corey and the team come up, I want to let you know that due to construction, our prayer room is kind of closed off, and so we're going to have some of our prayer team, they're going to stand along the sides, kind of maybe near the front or corners on the sides. Feel free to go and pray with any of them. I would encourage you for the next 10 minutes or so to make this a place of prayer. Sing your heart out. You can sit down and pray. But pray to say, God, would you please come and flood my life with your peace? I want to tell you something interesting. I was preparing this, the sermon for this week. Hello? Check, check. Oh, there we go. I was preparing the sermon for this week, and I was talking to Corey, and he had this song prepared. He picked this hymn for this week. And the more I thought about, what we could explore today and the passages of scripture we would look at, the more I realized that Corey was way smarter than me. He knew what God was doing this morning long before I did, and he picked a great song. So this is a perfect hymn for this Sunday, and it's time to sing it. Could we stand together? As you hold out the fears that you keep so deep, and as you hold out the weight that is pressing you down, we are going to sing these words. This is my Father's world. Oh, let me ne'er forget that though the wrong seems off so strong, God is the ruler yet. This is my Father's world. The battle is not done. Jesus, who died, shall be satisfied when earth and heaven